Chapter 58. Kylar woke on a cold stone slab in a cold room. He didn't open his eyes. If he could have willed himself never to wake again, he would have. He was still except for his breath and the currents of his life's blood rushing through his veins. As always when he came back from the dead, his body felt wonderful. Absolutely whole. Powerful, bursting with energy. He'd stolen a life, and it came to him abundantly. He was overfull, spilling life in every direction. His health was a mockery. Tears welled in his eyes and spilled down his cheeks to his ears. No wonder the wolf had thought him a monster. He'd thought Kylar was throwing away the lives of those he loved and who loved him. He lay on his back, but it only got worse. So he opened his eyes. The air was stale, dank. The ceiling was ornate, cool white marble. He was in a crypt. Only feet away, on slabs like his, were a man's body and a woman's. The man was big, holding a big sword. The woman's throat had been cut, and from how she'd decomposed, Kylar guessed she'd been bled dry. The man had died around the same time, surely during the coup. They were Logan's parents. Around them, the walls were filled with row upon row of gyre corpses, stretching back centuries. Logan had put Kylar in his own family's crypt. Kylar stood, not even feeling stiffness from having slept on marble. He'd been dressed in a cloth of gold tunic and white breeches, and fine fawn-skin shoes. It was, of course, pitch black in the crypt. There was no way of telling what time of day it was, and the mouth of the crypt was sealed with a massive rock cut into the shape of a wheel taller than a man. If Kylar remembered correctly, the crypt was located outside the city and sunk beneath the ground. If so, he had a good chance of getting out without anyone knowing. Regardless, he had to get out, so he grabbed the wheel and heaved with his talent. Slowly, the massive stone rolled a half turn and settled into another rest. Kylar went invisible and stepped outside. It was night, but the harvest moon was bright and high overhead. In the narrow stairwell that led to the crypt stood a young girl, her eyes wide with fear. It was Blue, the little guttershite from Black Dragon Guild. Kylar stopped, still invisible, and rubbed his face. Blue didn't move. He could tell she wanted to run, but refused to. Brave little shite. "Kylar?" she whispered. What was he supposed to do? Kill her? Avoid her and let her blab stories about the crypt opening? It was unlikely, but someone might open the crypt to check it out. And what would they do when they saw Kylar was gone?
"Kylar, I know you're there. Take me with you."
Staying invisible, Kylar asked, "Have you ever killed anyone, Blue?" She gasped and swallowed, looking for the source of the voice.
"No,"
she whispered. "Do you want to kill people?"
"I'd kill Dag Tarkus. He kicked Piggy in the stomach for stealing, and the next day he died."
"What if I told you that to be my apprentice you'd have to kill a dozen kids like Piggy? What if I told you you had to kill your whole guild?" Blue started crying. "You just want out, don't you?" She nodded her head. "Then I need you to do two things, Blue. First, never, ever speak about this. If you tell anyone, bad people will find out, and they'll kill lots of good people, you understand? You can't even tell your best friend."
Blue nodded. "I got no best friends, not after Piggy died."
"Go to the corner of Verdun and Gar. I'll meet you in an hour."
"Promise?"
I promise.
Blue left, and Kylar closed the crypt. He found a safe house and loaded up everything he needed, including Retribution, which he had left before he killed the Queen, knowing his weapons would be confiscated. He wrote a note to Rimbold Drake, first explaining about the laundress he'd maimed and asking Drake to pay restitution, and then explaining what the wolf told Kylar he'd cost the Drakes. He grabbed several bags of gold and a few poisons and changes of clothing, took a cloak, and pulled the hood over his face. He found Blue sitting at the intersection. She scrambled to her feet. "Inside that house lives a good man, Blue. He was poisoned and nearly died during the coup, and the Caladorans killed his wife and two of his daughters. He's the best man I know, and I think he might need you as much as you need him. In my note, I've asked him to raise you. He'll give you the only chance you'll ever have to make something of yourself, but it won't be easy. If you go in this house, you stay until you walk out a lady. Is that what you want?"
"A lady?"
Blue asked, her face lit with impossible yearning. "Say it."
"I want to be somebody. I want to be a lady."
"I believe you." Kylar put his hand to a crack in the door, sent the Kakari through, and opened the latch. He opened the door, and they walked past the porter's hut to the front door. Kylar handed a bag full of gold crowns to Blue. It was so heavy she could barely hold it. Then he put the note in her hand and threw back his hood, so she would never doubt that it was him. "Blue, I'm trusting you. I see souls, I weigh them. From yours, I know you're worth it. Be good to Count Drake. I wasn't as good to him as he deserved." With that, Kylar pounded on the door and went invisible. He waited until the bleary-eyed Count opened the door. Rimbold Drake looked at Blue, confused. She was too terrified to speak. After a moment, he took the note from her hand. After he read it, he wept. Kylar turned to go.
"You were better than you know,"
Drake said to the knight.
"I forgive you any wrong you think you have done me. You will always be welcome here, my son."
Kylar disappeared into the night. It was where he belonged.